cry out, Abba, Father. Aramaic word that we would say, Daddy. Daddy, help me. Jesus cried out in the garden in the Gospel of Mark. It's not just a quick term that we toss in. And I would never call your dad, Daddy. But he invites us, Abba, Father, crying out to you in our distress or disappointment or frustration or anger or Abba, Abba. Romans is a book that is practical in my mind. And this section that we come into in chapter 13 is no less practical. I want to read verses 11 to 14. And do this, knowing the time. Do what? Go back to verse 8. Owing nothing to anyone except be indebted to love them. For the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. It works no evil to a neighbor. They might be working evil to you. You don't do it. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this do. Act on it, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. I'm a day closer than yesterday. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly, as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensualness, not in strife and jealousy. And by the way, I don't think that that's an exhaustive list at this point in time. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. There is a message of urgency for each of us here in this text to live a genuine Christian life, a genuine life to the Lord. From wherever you are at this point in time, it's like a fresh message. Okay, forget yesterday, forget the failures of last year, but move forward in a genuine love. This urgency is not new. Often in the Old Testament, the Lord would tell the leaders, consecrate the people just before he did a major work. Get them ready. One of those is in Exodus 19. Consecrate the people. In 3 days, I'm coming. And that's when he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. In Joshua, and I picked out a selection of other times where God says, get the people ready. Why don't they remain ready? I'll open it up. Why didn't they remain ready? Or better, why don't I remain ready? Selfishness slips in.
There's too much going on in the world.
Living in the world, what?
The
cares of the world of the day.
Complacency.
I'm sorry?
Complacency.
Complacency? Why am I not always ready? Okay, by the way, our daughter Blossom is back from firefighting, leaving again tomorrow. She's smiling and she's having such a party time out there. Tongue in cheek. She has had a grind of it out there. She's asking us to pray that she goes to a different fire. You don't just get out of bed one morning and go fight a fire like that. There's the training for it. Why do our military agencies have a boot camp before they stick somebody out there? There's a reason for that. Running track. You don't just get up one morning and go and beat the race. There's training for it. There's a preparing for it. And in fact, the closer you get to that day, the more urgency there is to be on it. And that is really the tenor of this text. An urgency about preparation and a vigilancy in the Christian walk. But then we start fading again. We start fading again. And then the Lord says, and then we start fading again. Okay, the urgency. Jesus brought the same message. I want you to turn back to Matthew 24. An urgency. Matthew 24, he's talking about the end times. And the next time he returns. We don't have it laid out in such a way that we can figure out this and then this and then this sequentially. Some do and they write books about it, but I think everybody doesn't know yet. That's my conclusion. But he's coming back again. And so in Matthew 24, verse 42, therefore be on the alert. When Mark recorded it, in Mark chapter 13, there's at least five times he says, be on the alert. You can't be on the alert and complacently asleep. Be on the alert. Be watching. Not so you can be the first one on the block to get the sequence right, but the preparation for you and your own heart, your own soul. The Lord is coming. In chapter 25, it's about the Lord coming also. Verse 1. Matthew 25, 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five were prudent. When the foolish ones took their lamps, they took no oil with them. That sounds kind of goofy. But he's talking about people in this current life. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. At midnight, there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, saying, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers, buy some for yourselves. While they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered and said to them, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Parable, a picture to be applied in this way. Therefore, be on the alert. Be on the alert, for you do not know the day or hour. And that's about the return of Jesus. Be on the alert. There's an urgency in Romans 12, 2. It kind of prepares us for that. It says, prepare by presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. That's getting ready for the Lord's use. There's an urgency. Be ready for the return of Jesus. Be ready for the impending challenge to your faith. It will come. Be ready for the heavy pull of the ways of this world. Be ready for the convincing philosophies of this world telling us, number one, there is no God. Or that what was written in the Bible about God and about the future is not accurate. Somebody said to me this last week, oh, it's just written by men. Yep. No kidding, how else does something get written? But as revealed by God. Another convincing philosophy, be ready, that there is hope for man to better himself and his environment. So there's no need for God. We can do it. I heard that this last week too. Another one, that you are more important than others. It's all about you. That's a whole marketing system in our country. Well, not just our country, it goes beyond. And I can add to this list more and more. Be ready. But in the Romans 13 running context, it's a readiness to extend love to one another. I'm not always ready to do that. I find that I am sometimes relaxing because things are either exhausting and I'm spent for the day or month. And I find myself saying things I wouldn't normally say, doing things I wouldn't normally do. Be ready. Running context, readiness to extend love to one another. Let's go back to Romans. Chapter 14, we're not getting into it this morning, but I do want to introduce it. Chapter 14 addresses a reality that we all get to experience. We are here in this life with people who have different theological convictions, and the differences may not really be right and wrong. Just different. The real test comes with how we deal with others. It's not always theological convictions. It's just daily life convictions. Miles taught on this at the end of his little teaching this last hour. There's things that they do different. They feel convinced before God they're clean in it, and I am not. Well, it's not sorting out who's right and who's wrong. It's how are you going to deal with them? That's chapter 14. The real test comes in how we deal with others. Are we extending love, or are we seeing ourselves as wiser or more important or more spiritual and treating them with impatience and even contempt? We need to face into this. It's practical. And he's talking to you. He's talking to me. In Romans 13, verses 8 through 11, 8 through 10, and then 11 through 14, it's not simply a suggestion. It is critical. In Romans 11, 8, owe nothing to anyone except be in debt to love them. Verse 10, love does not do evil to a neighbor, and whether that's a neighbor under your own roof or the neighbor next door or somebody living in another country. Verse 11, do it, knowing the time. Peter uses different words but says the same thing. I'd like you to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Buttoning all this together, we're going to see one beautiful message. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered for you in the flesh, arm yourselves. Be prepared. Be alert. Be ready. Be vigilant. Also, with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles. The party is done. Aren't you weary of the party? You've had plenty of time to party. Let's get serious about this. That's what Peter is saying. Having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. And in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation. And they malign you. But they shall give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. He is ready. Are you alert and ready? It's going to happen. We don't know when. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that those who are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Another way to say that is, love does not broadcast someone's sin. There's ways to deal with it. And sometimes you got to confront it and talk about it, but it doesn't publish it. When that is done, it is the opposite of love. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Paul wrote something similar to the Galatians. Go back to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 5. Again, it just paints a more detailed picture, turning to all these cross-references. Galatians 5, a couple of verses here. 13, for you were called to freedom. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he's simply quoting Jesus. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 11. Paul's pastoral heart comes out to the Corinthians and about the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. But I am afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. How is someone led away? When either they go after those lusts that are current in their flesh, or they go to sleep to God. Going to that lethargic, comfortable, complacent place of which God, from the beginning of the book all the way through to the end, said, wake up! Paul to the Thessalonians says, let us not sleep as others sleep. And it's being alert to the things of the Lord. Being led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus. Wow. We, like Paul, do not know the day or hour that Jesus is going to return, nor the sequence which will unfold as he comes again. But he's coming. That's part of this. Also, we should be alert to the fact that the Lord is constantly at work. I had no idea that that young lady, Cass, was going to say what she did to me when I said, what are some details we can pray for you? Well, my dad was murdered 2 weeks ago. Whew. That was an appointment by God. For us to be together at that moment. For this young man, Clayton, I remembered his name. And Elizabeth's got a list of ones that we prayed for those 3 days. God appointments. But it's not just in strategic ministry like this at the Oregon Country Fair. It's in the daily walk. If we are prepared, he may incorporate us in that work. And now it kind of gets a little fun here. The Lord will move, doing his own work with or without us. Have you ever been surprised by the Lord? You've been surprised at what he said through you? Where did that come from? And it was perfect at the moment because it was God. Just being alert to him, and you're not going to hear an audible voice, Dan, say this. It just happens. Or how he used you in some appointment that he had prearranged, yet you were oblivious to. I've often laughed at the surprises which the Lord orders. I really have laughed out loud. And maybe with the similar question that David asked when he was being established as king, who am I? What is my house? Who am I? Yet God had set this up. Be alert. The urgency is also for our own sake here in Romans 13. And here's where I want to spend the remainder of our moments together. Our own sake. So preparation and vigilance is the charge. It says, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. In verse 12. Those are speaking of our actions, either being of this world in our sinful flesh that wants self-fulfillment, or the actions that follow God's righteousness. Doing these right things because God says it is right is a protection for us. It becomes an armor for us. I don't automatically go from here to Ephesians 6 that describes the armor of God. I think it may be different here. That laying aside the deeds of darkness means you're taking up the deeds of God, that which is of the light. What is right in this dark place? Doing these is putting on that armor, that protection for us. Trying, however, to do the deeds of darkness and the things of God, the best of both worlds, you only get one. God basically refers to that as religion that is dead. It's a lip service with no heart. And it may be like those virgins in that chapter 25 passage. I don't know you. Blink, blink. Jesus also had taught us that out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and following. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. After they had said, but didn't we do this in your name? Do that in your name? I never knew you. I don't want to be in that category. I don't want to pretend like that. And so it requires a vigilance. It requires paying attention, being alert, urgent to move forward. Light in this present context. Let me read it again. Verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Peter had that same wording. We are 2,000 years closer now. They saw it as if it could happen any moment, any time. Also, we need to approach it that way. It can happen tomorrow, even today. It can happen before the big plans of your birthday next month or whatever. Light in this present context. The night is almost gone. The day at his hand. Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. That is proper behavior as in the day, not in carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, and sensuality, strife, and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The light in this context is walking in God's ways. And there's an urgency in Paul's admonition because walking in God's way is a protection for us and it is a readiness for ministry. And God has called us to ministry. It is such a wonder and a beauty to me to hear your testimonies of what God has done around you and through you, as well as in you. Because I'm not the hired gun. All ministry must happen through Pastor Dan. Well, forget that load. I'm called to help disciple and prepare you to do the work of the ministry. Amen. By the way, that's almost direct quote, Ephesians 4:11 and following. The ministry happens through you. You got a birth coming up, Elizabeth and Jonna. What's going to happen? Who knows? Hallelujah for that opportunity. It's planned. But what about tomorrow standing in front of the post office that you didn't plan? And that person that's there might not be too lovely, but they might need to be just loved on. That is what this is preparing us for more than anything else. It makes us ready with genuine love for God and for people, even the difficult people. I've known one or two of those in my life. And lastly, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. It really cuts through the chase. This is often used in dealing or trying to help somebody with a bad habit. If you want to give up cigarettes, don't keep a pack stashed in the closet.
Okay. Wait, don't put the chocolate bar in the cupboard.
Okay. That's how it is.
I had like four. So anyway.
But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Making no provision for the flesh. It's intended to be a broad stroke that encompasses all the choices we make in life. Go ahead, Millie. The stroke that is here encompasses the choices we have to make. Proverbs says every man's ways are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. The Lord weighs the heart. We are called here to test our own motivations. Why am I doing something? Are these words or is this action motivated by God or by my own lust? Am I going to benefit from this somehow? Is it about my pride and gain? Or is it about agape? That is the running teaching here. Be alert. That alertness needs to do some self-evaluation. That alertness is not just to go out and say, well, you know, yeah, against the others. It's talking to me. How is it that I make provision for my flesh, fleshly desires? Setting up the situation so I can again nob on whatever it is. And each one of us, it's going to be a little different, though there's going to be some similarities. It's not about me. It's about God, who is wanting to use me in people's lives right here. Be alert. Let's have a little more interaction if you've got comments or thoughts than I have of closing. Brad, go ahead.
I just want to say, I need to remove the plank from my eye before I try to remove the speck from yours.
Yeah. And that's found in Jesus' words, Matthew 7, verse 1 and following. Exactly right.
I do have, it's a prayer request that but with your sermon, I want to present it to our body. Her name is Amelia. She's with our garden club. She fell last weekend, and she was leaning forward, so she compensated, so she went back, and she hit her back. And she can't. She's having trouble walking. She's in a ton of pain. I rescued a puppy from her. She couldn't deal with it. It's at my house. And I'm trying to find a forever home. If anybody, I have pictures. But pray for Amelia. Okay. She knows God. She knows the Lord. But she is living with pain.
Okay. We'll do that in a moment, Amelia. That God has used you in her life. Ron, go ahead.
This verse that said 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to understand why that verse is in there. It's not just to make us holier. It's for us to get out into the world that doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ on. Patty and I drove an hour with a guy that I think we were able to challenge him in Jesus Christ. And it wasn't a big thing, but it was just joining together and saying, hey, he's there. And that's what you need to be searching for, not a church. Yeah. Make sure that you're straight with Jesus Christ. That's why we need to put on Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm really struck with the line that you used, the Lord will do his work with you or without you. And to me, that's very unnerving because he wants to use me. Mm-hmm. And he can if I let him. But if I don't, he has to move away. Mm-hmm. He'll work it out.
Yep.
And that way may not be as pleasant for me.
Right.
Yeah. And we miss the blessing of being used by
Exactly. Yeah.
And chapter 14 starts getting into that. Good. Go ahead, Cade.
When it came up this morning, was doing all things or dwelling in the shadow or the shade of the Lord.
Okay.
Well, being involved with this family for, I've been here 30 years, and how God has grown me bit by bit by bit. And the clothes giveaway, he heavily put that on my heart way back when, because of a family that lived on the river, little children that needed help. And so he laid it on my heart to help them. That ministry that God has in control, that God has used and used other people, and now it keeps getting passed on. I just love it. I mean, it's like, God is still ministering to the people in Tequila through the clothes giveaway. What I loved going and being there and reaching out to people is just saying hi. Say, hi, Kathy, how you doing? It's been a year, how you doing? And just being there when they come. And like for people to come and minister, you know, be helper, fold those clothes. But you're also visiting with people in Tequila and other places that come and they need to hear God in your heart.
And see him.
And see him, yes.
Alive in the person.
Yes.
The readiness that we're talking about here that Paul is giving us addresses beforehand for us to make provision for love instead of the make provision for the flesh. It is being ready to be that extension of God's outreaching hand of love, whatever that might look like. Being ready to engage with God. We never know when God is going to do some pretty cool stuff. And there are times that I remember I missed out on the blessing because I wasn't paying attention, although I was right there at the time. And God continued what God is going to do. Other times I got to be there and I didn't even know I was there. And poof, whoa. Look at what God did. This type of life brings attention to the Savior, the living God. It is not to glorify any individual servant.
Exactly.
It brings it back to our Savior. Father, I do want to thank you for the Amelias out there in life. For this man that they both got to just touch a little bit for Jesus' name's sake. We pray that those seeds would be watered. Who is next to come along and water them? Father, I've certainly failed at times of planting a seed or watering the seed. When you had brought it, I wasn't ready. But Lord God, for all of us here hearing this challenge, Lord, reading what is here for us and knowing that life is tough, yet it's full of blessings because you're in it. Help us to be ready for those Amelia people. Father, for this way that Patty has helped her friend, she loves you. She knows you. Thank you, Lord, for that. And now a little puppy needs a home for the sake of Amelia. But how else can this woman be touched, Lord? And how many, many, many others there are. Each one of us, Lord God, you have a plan for the day. We make a plan and you direct our step. Thank you for that. But God, I pray that whatever it might take for each of us individually where we currently are to wake up and to be alert to your movement while we are doing the daily grind of our life so as to not sleep and miss the moment. God, help us. Give us an alertness, a desire for it. And Lord, show us how to act on that in Jesus' name.